And okay, now as for Robert, I mentioned these fugues on the name of Bach, B-A-C-H, and at the bottom of your handout, you will see the subjects there. Again, those of you, I know a lot of you already know this, but for those who don't, the German, you can translate the German letters for Ba-a-tse-ha, that's B-A-C-H in English, into pitches, because the note, a B-flat, corresponds to B, or B, and H corresponds, ha, you know, corresponds to B natural. And so you get a melody that looks, that basically is this. And so Schumann takes those four notes and then follows it up with something else, and we get six different fugue subjects, all of which are different in character, but all start with the same intervallic relationships. Here's the first one. And so on. The second one is, so changing it very much, the same pitches, just different rhythm. Right? Third one, I'm sorry. And the fourth one is kind of interesting because now he actually moves an octave down, but still keeps the same pitches. Which is also a rather Baroque thing, the saltus durusculus, they would say back then, and so on. I won't go through the other two. But so all of these fugues then are based on themes, subjects that begin with the musical equivalent of B-A-C-H. Now, two more things to conclude here with. What's interesting, of course, is Schumann had such a broad career. He did so many different things. I mean, he was, I've already talked about some of them. One thing we haven't talked about was the fact that he was also a choral conductor. And he had a job first in Dresden and then in Dusseldorf, where he was kind of like the city music director and responsible for putting on a lot of concerts. And he conducted the chorus. It was, you know, of citizens. It was amateur chorus that came in. Caused him a lot of grief, by the way, because they didn't work as hard as he wanted them to. But nonetheless, one of the things that Schumann did there was to produce one of the first performances of the St. John Passion. Mendelssohn's 1829 revival of the St. John Passion was, of course, an epic-making moment. And Schumann and Mendelssohn were very close, but then Mendelssohn died tragically young. Schumann also conducted later, by the way, the St. Matthew. So he conducted both of them. But he felt, by the way, that the St. John was the later work, not the earlier work, which it is, because he didn't know, you know. But he felt, for certain reasons, that the St. John was a more mature work. And I'd like to play two short excerpts from this, just to give you an idea of what he did. Schumann, first of all, by the way, unlike Mendelssohn, did not savagely cut the piece. He felt that if we're going to be true to Bach, we have to, you know, play Bach's music as much as of it we can do. There were some reasons why certain movements had to be cut. Something happened to one of the singers. They couldn't get certain instruments that they felt they needed, and so on and so forth, and certain Baroque instruments. Moreover, the orchestration was a little different, so because they didn't have harpsichords back then, they had forgotten what a harpsichord was, and so they, of course, used piano. And by the way, Clara was the rehearsal pianist, so she would have played the harpsichord continuo on the piano in the performance and the rehearsals. He also added clarinets, an instrument that wasn't available to Bach, but which had come in. Mendelssohn also used clarinets, by the way, to color some of the sound. And he also added trumpets, especially in the middle part of the movement called Es ist vollbracht, which is about triumphant and so on, and the victory of over evil and death and so on. And appropriately, Schumann employed trumpets there to beef up the sound, and therefore adds a little bit more of a romantic touch to it. I'm going to play, first of all, a bit of recitative to let you hear what it sounds like when you have old-style accompaniment, this with piano in the background, probably an old piano too, the way it sounds, the cello, instead of today as we now normally do with the long notes, even though they're written long in the score, we play them short to give more air to the texture so that the vocal part can come through. They play through the notes as was true, you know, from that period presumably to, you know, the last few decades. And so let me just do that. And the text here is the opening, it's the opening recitative. And it says, Jesus went with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. And Jesus and his disciples went into the garden. Judas, the one who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So after Judas had received a bond of men and officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, he went there with torches and lanterns and with weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, went out and said to him, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Just for time, I'm going to stop it there, move to the next passage, but you can hear what the point I was trying to make with the accompaniment of the with the piano and so on. And this is in near the end, where Bach adds in to the text of John with a passage from Matthew, which is about when Christ died and the veil of the temple was rent and, you know, people came out and there was an earthquake and so on. In this case, Bach only has a fancy cello line representing the earthquake with a tremolo and a descending scale and so on, but nothing else other than the organ or harpsichord playing the chords. In this case, Schumann scores it for full strings, and so it makes it much more dramatic. Now, let's see. Get it right. This is my line. So, you know, yes. Right. Not in the St. John, only St. Matthew.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But this is the John, yes. I don't know what he did with St. Matthew, but in any event, It's interesting to see that Bach. Schumann though was more than Mendelssohn interested in getting, you know, Bach as Bach had it, but he did make these changes. But they're not they make a lot of musical sense and dramatic sense, and so we should give him that. Okay, finally, and we've got to move here. Near the end of his life, Schumann wrote accompaniments to Bach's unaccompanied music for violin and cello, and. First he was going to do just certain pieces, but then, very smart, I mean, he discovered that, in fact, there are musical links between the movements in these sonatas, the suites in particular, he then wrote to the publisher, said, I'm going to set them all. And so he did publish keyboard accompaniments to all six partitas and sonatas for violin by Bach, and also for cello, although I don't believe that the cello parts were actually published in his lifetime, and they've recently been published, I think in 1999. But Ellie Kang has very generously agreed to come up for and play for like 30 seconds. if or
you were.
You were. Oh. Yeah, we had a problem. Well, maybe we won't be able to do this, but basically, what he does is to provide chords and so on, and but, yeah, I don't.
We can see from there, but I don't know. It's really small.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. But I guess we won't be able to do it then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just thank you for coming, though. But in any event, this was indicative of, at this time, no one ever really thought that anybody wanted to listen to Bach's unaccompanied music unaccompanied, that you needed the, you know, the additional support, harmonic support that would be given with chords on the piano. It's not a terribly elaborate part. It's mainly chords that support and maybe a few little counter voices here and there. This was, of course, the way that people got to know Bach's famous unaccompanied violin music and cello music in the 19th century. And so at the end of his life, Schumann was doing that. So you can see there was an enormous number of ways in which Schumann came into contact with the music of Bach, in which he furthered it. I didn't mention his work towards the development of the Bach-Gesellschaft edition, which started in 1750, which was the first attempt to do the complete works of Bach. And Schumann was a member of their editorial board. He was one of the instigators of it, although he was now living far away from Leipzig, where the headquarters were. But he still took an interest in that. At another point, he copied out the Art of Fugue. So he knew that work, obviously, very, very well. There are just so many ways in which Bach insinuated himself into Schumann's musical life and activities. So I think with that, I better stop. So thank you very much. But...